Our scripture reading this morning will come from Romans chapter 8. That's on page 944 in your pew Bibles. This morning we'll be focusing on just two verses, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Page 944 in your pew Bible. Hear now the word of God from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning with verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Thus we've read verse 26 and 27. Let us now go before the throne of grace in prayer. Gracious Lord, this is Your holy word. We ask that You would bless its reading and its proclamation, that You would glorify Your name and edify Your saints with Your word preached this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been going through the book of Romans, and now we come to Romans 8, 26 and 27, and we need to slow down for a minute. Because these verses are powerful and ought to really impact our lives as they teach us about prayer. As they teach us about the work of the Godhead in prayer. And He tells us about the Spirit, how He aids our prayers. And we're told why. It's because of our weakness. Like the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray for as we ought. This is something that I know that we've all experienced. Weakness. We can be weak even in our prayers. But our Lord God knows our frame. He knows our frailty. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our needs. And so the Spirit has been sent to help and aid us even in our prayers. He's not left us here to flail about in our weakness. He's given us a helper, as Jesus calls the Holy Spirit in John 14. He's given us the helper who helps even our prayers. We don't often think of the Holy Spirit helping with our prayers. Usually we think about Christ when we think about aiding our prayers. He's our intercessor. But here, Paul specifically tells us the Holy Spirit plays a role in helping our prayers. He aids in taking our prayers before the Father, and He works with the One who is the searcher of hearts. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayers go before the Lord. The Spirit aids in getting the desires and the cries of our hearts before the throne of grace. We're told, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The groanings here at the verse 26 are not our groanings, they're the groanings of the Holy Spirit. We usually associate groaning and such non-verbal communication as something people do when they're under a burden or they're doing heavy lifting. And they can't really form the words, and so they groan or they grunt to communicate, I heard you. Or help. Or whatever it might be. And I think the picture is given to us here of Paul this way on purpose. That the Spirit groans as He does work on our behalf. His work is taking our prayers before the throne of grace and plunging the depth of our heart in order to lift out our needs and our concerns to take them before the Father in heaven. And His groanings are even giving vent to our prayers. It's an intercession and a help of the Holy Spirit that's beyond words. And it's made on our behalf. To aid and help us in our own weakness. And notice in verse 27, at the end, we're told that the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit's work is in complete accordance with the will of the Father. As we might remember, the Father and the Spirit are obviously on the same page. They have the same will, the same divine will, because they're the members of the Trinity. The first and the third person of the Trinity are working together in accordance. And thus the Spirit in His intercession on behalf of the saints is indeed the will of God. It is God's will then that the saints have intercession and help in their prayers. It's the will of the Father that the Spirit takes up our cause and pleads on our behalf. Think about that for just a minute. Think about that powerful truth. It's God's will. It's the will of the Father that you have help bringing your prayers to His ears. As I said a minute ago, normally when we think about aiding our prayers, we think about Jesus Christ. We know that the Son aids our prayers. He's the intercessor. He's our only high priest. He intercedes and advocates on our behalf. Jesus is our advocate with the Father in heaven, we're told in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus is the high priest and the one who knows our frame. He's made the sacrifice of His precious blood so that we might be able to come into the presence of God in the first place. He does go before the Father and say, this one here is a brand that I plucked from the fire, Zechariah chapter 3. In this way, He's helped and enabled my prayers. And He prays for us too, as we see in John 17 and the high priestly prayer. He prays not only for His disciples who are alive there, but the disciples who believe in all times throughout the earth. He prays for us in that manner, pleading our cause right now at the right hand of the Father, now and forevermore, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this way, the Lord Jesus aids my prayers. In this way, He is my advocate in the presence of my Father. And so Paul is showing us how the Spirit intercedes and how His intercession is different than the Son's. Jesus' intercession is in heaven at the right hand. It's external to us. He's the advocate. It takes place outside of us. But the Spirit's work here that Paul pictures to us is internal. It's working within our hearts. Taking from our hearts to the Lord. Christ is pleading and advocating with the Father, working on my behalf at the right hand of the Father. You can see a visual picture of that in Zechariah chapter 3 that I mentioned a minute ago. That's the courtroom scene. Jesus there is the defense attorney. Satan there is the accuser, but Jesus says, no, this one belongs to me. I've redeemed him. I've plucked him from the fire. He's on my team. He's working for me as my advocate, but it's external to me. He's next to me. The Holy Spirit, by Paul here, is pictured working from within my very being, welling up from within my heart, the heart that we are told that Jesus knows. But the Spirit brings out the deep things of my heart and takes those things for me to God. He helps give me words. He helps me in my prayers when I have no words. He helps me with His own groanings and words to serve as the aid to my prayers, reaching the ears of God. It's the Spirit who, despite my weakness, is still at work in my heart and my mind to make me a person of prayer. And then we also see the Father, His role in prayer here. He's the one who hears our prayers. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, that famous verse about ask and seek and knock. You ask, it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. That's Jesus telling us that we have not because we ask not. That we ought to be going before the Lord and asking. going to the Father's throne and asking. We should seek what we need from God. We should knock on the door if we desire the door to be opened unto us. It's a commonly quoted verse. It's one you learn when you're a child to help encourage you to go before the Father in prayer. And it should still serve as an encouragement for us because it reminds us and teaches us the Father wants our prayers. He wants us to come to Him. It shows His willingness to receive our prayers. Which also means the Father hears. He gives His ear to our prayers. He listens when the Son advocates for us and when the Spirit groans and intercedes for us. And He listens when the words come from our hearts and our mouths. The Father is there. The Father is listening. It's no small privilege that the eternal Creator of all things hears you when you pray. That's a famous quote from someone who I can't remember, who says, "The greatest thing anyone can do for me is to pray." How often do we have the opposite opinion of prayer, where we feel like it's the least someone can do when they say, "I'll pray for you"? Or we might even feel guilty when we say, "Well, I'll pray for them, but I can't do more. Isn't there something else?" Never should we view prayer as the least of what we do. We're going before the Creator God of the universe and saying, "Lord, please answer this prayer. What greater can you do? Even if you take more actions, you need the blessings of the Father to make those actions work." Prayer is necessary and it's important and it is fundamental. As our own Heidelberg Catechism talks, we're going before the Almighty God who is able to do all things, but also our faithful Father and therefore willing. What a great privilege. Because He tells us how willing He is to answer prayer just in Luke 11 and verse 11. "If a son asks bread of any of you who is the father, will He give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will He give him a serpent?" And that verse reminds us the attitude of God the Father when He hears our prayers. He's not just listening as one who's fulfilling His duty. He's not just up in the call center of prayer answering prayers as though they come in waiting for the clock to punch out. That's not God's attitude. He's not even listening to us as the great King listens to His subjects. Where He hears, but He looks down upon them because He's the King and they're are His peasants. No, He listens to us as the loving and faithful Father. As one hears His own children. For those of you who have been parents, you know when you hear your kid cry, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you stop and you wonder, "What happened? How do they need me?" And you stop and then you lovingly hear and you listen and you help the child who's cried out for your help. So it is with our Father in heaven. He hears our cries. And He listens with love, with patience, with compassion, with mercy. And that's one of the things that Paul shows us here in verse 26 and 27. He lists all the persons of the Godhead with the Spirit who is interceding. The one who searches hearts is the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the will of God, being the Father here. There's a unity in the Godhead concerning our prayers. All are united. All know our weakness. All know our need. All share the same will. There's the unity in the Trinity. The unity that wants us to be a people of prayer, that wants to help us in our prayers. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all working together because of our weakness to bring our cares, our concerns, our joys, our thanksgivings, and our requests before the throne of grace. What a wonderful thought that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united to aid my prayer. God is on the side of my prayers. God is helping my prayers. The God who helps me pray, will He not also then surely hear them and grant what I need? Of course He will. And so, I want us to then also stop and see this in context for a moment. In the flow of the book of Romans, these verses on prayer, He's already talked about our sin in the first three chapters. He's talked about being saved in Jesus Christ in chapters 4 and 5 and having peace with God. He started talking about life as a Christian in verse 6, being buried with Him and resurrected with Him, and the struggles of the Christian life in chapter 7. And here He comes and He gives us, in this discussion of how we live our life as Christians, this powerful verse on prayer. Because the Christian life, the life in the Spirit, is a life of prayer. We must always be praying. Always have an attitude of prayer. It's important for the Christian to be on his knees in prayer. One of the keys to life here in this world, then, is prayer. And we're encouraged in it by Paul by saying God Himself is working in your prayers. The Holy Spirit will aid your prayers. Don't neglect prayer, because God is at work in it. For the Christian, prayer is fundamental. The will of God is for us to be in prayer. The house of God is to be a house of prayer. The Christian is called to pray and to always be praying. It keeps us connected to God. It keeps us in the right mindset. It helps us focus to walk by faith and not by sight. It helps us not get distracted by all the things of the world, to remember that we are always talking to our Heavenly Father. It's how we are to live a life in the Spirit. And the even closer context is this life of suffering that we feel. The immediate verses before this are, there's suffering in this world. Yes, you're more than conquerors. Yes, you've been adopted as children of God, but you still suffer. And that the whole world indeed is groaning and waiting for the redemption of our bodies. How then do we make it during times of great suffering? And Paul says the answer is prayer. The world itself is groaning, and believers are too. And now Paul tells us, and so too in you is the Holy Spirit, groaning and helping your prayers. It's the answer to the question, how do we live in this world where we suffer and groan while we wait for the second coming? Paul says, prayer. Because He knows our weakness. How often when we're suffering do our weaknesses come out and are shown forth? And He says, likewise, the Spirit helps you in your weakness. Helps you in those times where you're shown to be weak through sufferings and through trials and through temptations. It doesn't matter what the weakness is, the Holy Spirit is there to help you in it. Maybe the weakness is you're suffering greatly. Maybe it's a physical weakness. Maybe it's a weakness because I don't know how to pray. I'm in such a situation that I don't even know which way to pray to get out. The Lord says He helps you in that. Maybe the weakness is in this suffering, you've fallen into great sin. And here Paul says, even in your weakness, even if it's sinful weakness, the Holy Spirit can help you pray. Because Satan wants to use those things to stop us from praying. He wants to attack our minds and our hearts. and say, you can't pray. Look at what you just did. Look at all the sin you've done and all the suffering you've caused with your sin. God's not going to hear your prayers now because you're a great sinner. And Paul says, no, no. In our weakness, the Spirit helps us. Even when we don't know what to pray. Or maybe Satan is saying to you, you're too weak. You can't even get up. There's no time to pray. You can't feel like prayer. You're not in the mood to pray. And Paul says, no, the Holy Spirit is here in your weakness and He helps you even when you don't have the words. He's helping you in prayer. We're given the Holy Spirit to aid us. We have weakness and we have inability, but God has not left us without help. He's given us the Holy Spirit. For there will be times when we are suffering and hurting and we don't even know how to pray. Our hearts will just cry out. But we don't need the words. Because the Holy Spirit will give words. Will give His own groanings to ours. Fear not. The Spirit helps and aids our prayers. And it does bring up the point that maybe there's an objection. Maybe you're thinking right now, but sometimes I've prayed, but God hasn't answered. Or He said no. Because we do know from the Scriptures that there are times where the Lord answers our prayers with a no. Think about David after Bathsheba. He prays and prays all week. He fasts and prays. Please don't take the child. But the child dies anyway. Does that mean the Lord didn't hear David's prayer? No, He heard. But in His infinite wisdom and His goodness and His care and His love, the answer came back, no. Not this time. This should be a great assurance. Verses 26 and 27 should be a great assurance to us that our prayers are heard and that we can take the cares and concerns of our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes He might say, though, it's better for you that the answer be no. But we should never doubt that the Lord heard the prayers and even aided those prayers in which He said no. Because God works through prayer. We're told specifically here in verse 27 that the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is God's will that we go to Him in prayer. He works through prayer. Sometimes in the Reformed Church, we know that God controls all events and He's destined all things beforehand. And so we think if it happens, it happens, and we forget about the important role of prayer in all events. Because He works through means. And He works through the means of prayer. It's so prevalent in the Bible that it's almost easy to miss. Of all the times that the Lord does great works in response to the prayer of His people. Just think about it for a minute. Joshua asked the day to be extended so that he can win the battle. And God stands the moon and the sun still for 24 hours in response to Joshua's prayer. Jephthah prays for victory and the Lord gives it to him. Samson prays for strength when he's pushing down the pillars and the Lord grants and answers his prayer. Hannah prays for a child and she's given one. In fact, if you keep reading, she's given more than one. David asks for the temple to be built. And the Lord builds the temple, though He tells David it won't be in your time frame or your lifetime. But I'll answer your prayer. And the house will be built. Hezekiah asked for deliverance for Jerusalem, and the Assyrian army is wiped out by an angel of the Lord. All in response to Hezekiah going before the altar and praying. Jesus on the cross prays, Father, forgive them. And 50 days later, thousands of people come to faith. Stephen asks for mercy upon those who are in the midst of stoning him, and a young man named Saul is holding clothes there, and the Lord will soon change his heart and make the scales fall off his eyes and turn him into the Apostle Paul to deliver the message of Jesus and His grace to the world because of Stephen's prayer. The church prays for the release of Peter from prison, and an angel of the Lord ascends, and Peter escapes. We could go on and on with the examples in the Bible. We could be here all day. Because the Lord works through prayer. When you're reading and you see a prayer, don't take it for granted. Stop and see that the Lord answers these prayers. Don't ever think lightly of your prayers. It is a powerful weapon for the people of God. For your protection. For the help of others. It's the greatest thing we could do. To go to the Lord in prayer. And ask for His mercy, His grace, His blessing, and His help. Don't ever let it just become something that you do without thinking about it. This is a great and glorious gift given to you as a son and daughter of God. You have access to the Father of all things. And He wants you to come. He's given you the Spirit to help you come. To come to Him in prayer. Let us do that now. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You and we praise You for Your wondrous grace and the beautiful gift of prayer. Oh, what a mercy it is that You hear our prayers. What a wondrous thing it is. And so we ask, O Lord, we do ask that You would help us, that You would bless us, that You would use us as vessels of Your grace so that others might hear the truth of the Lord Jesus. Make us witnesses for You. And make us people of prayer, O Lord. Make our knees quick to bend and our heads quick to bow. Give us an attitude of prayer, to live a life of prayer, of trust and faith in You. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.